Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
We know many people will attempt during Lent to sacrifice or give up on the chocolate, the wine, the cakes. Not everybody will succeed, but my next guest goes way beyond what most will manage. In a moment, we'll hear from dietitian Louise Reynolds on whether his approach is the right one. But first, to a man we would normally talk to about travel-related matters, Owen Curry. Good morning, Owen.
Good morning, Claire.
You make a big effort at Lent every year. Tell us what you've been doing over the last number of years.
Lent is a great invention, and I'll tell you why. It's understood all over the world, you know, Carissima, Carême, Quaresma, Veikelpost, Fastenzeit. You just say that magic word, and it avoids that situation at the dinner table where people are ladening your plate with all the things that really are bad for you and pile on the weight. And there's a reason it's called the hospitality industry, Claire.
Oh, yeah. So your job involves travelling a lot and eating a lot of nice things, which is lovely. But for Lent, you decided that you would forego an awful lot of the nice things, the wine, the meat, the bread. And you do this every year.
I do this every year. It's fairly simple formula to it. You take out the drugs, you take out caffeine, alcohol and sugar. Both caffeine and alcohol, well-rated sugar, obviously, is probably more dangerous than any. And that sort of, it's amazing how quickly the results would happen. Now, this is not a formula I advertise for other people, because I'm a great believer that people should compile their own a sensible approach to eating. And what happened to me a couple of years into when I was writing about travel was I just noticed I was putting on not a lot, maybe 3-4 pounds. I probably was stopping more active sport at the same time because of my age. And I just multiplied it by 10 and said, how am I going to do this in an environment where
3 or 4 pounds
is nothing
now. 3 or 4 pounds is nothing. But you're saying you're putting on that every year is what you noticed.
That's it. Multiply it by 10. And now you are beginning to say, yeah, how do I get, it's much more difficult to get it back. So in an environment where you don't have a lot of control, you're eating out a lot, and I do really enjoy my food. I'm a great, my mother's theory that finishing your plate would help the starving children of Biafra, I took that seriously, and I still do. I do, even in environments where I'm fed local food, I will always eat and enjoy and appraise it. So in that environment where there's no control, how are you going to impose a diet? So take out the, I decided to do this based on what I'd read in some of the diet books. I used to, in a previous existence, I was literary editor of the Irish Press and did the books pages of the Business Post a few years after the Irish Press closed. And what would you, every January, we'd be flooded with all these keto diets and Atkins. Do you remember the Atkins diet, Claire?
Oh, I do, yeah. The Ducan, all of
Louis
them.
Copeland, yeah. Louis Copeland used to remeasure the TDs every couple of months for expensive suits. It was
really
a great when it was going. But they all say the same thing. Cut out the stuff that interferes, the bad stuff. And the list of bad stuff, the definition of bad stuff that piles on the weight, basically all those lovely desserts, that sugar. I take out red meat because that's very fatty. I take out bread because that can pile it on as well. But the alcohol, the caffeine and the sugar.
I want to know what you leave in now, Owen. Like, what do you eat for Lent?
I love my vegetables. I love fish and chicken. And, you know, when you look at the list, it's very similar to what the Christian authorities and indeed the Muslim, like the Orthodox Lent started on Monday and the Baha'i fast ends on Friday. Ramadan will coincide with Lent next year. A lot of the religious authorities have been doing this for thousands of years. So they say take out meat. I do keep in fish because I always adore fish. It would be my choice. Chicken, all the vegetables I can eat and all the fruit. When they're serving up the pavlova at one of these meals away, I will always ask for just maybe 3 or 4 grapes. So I am sharing the dessert, but okay, I'm only having a little bit of fruit.
Sounds a bit miserable. Tell me what you had to eat yesterday. Started your breakfast.
Starting with the breakfast, I had some porridge, and then I had a fish for my dinner. And then another important sort of old, it's based on old wisdom, is that if you're going to start losing weight, you put some sort of threshold or curfew on your eating. You know the old phrase, breakfast like a king? That seems to be common across different cultures and different languages, that if you push your heavy eating into the morning and then, you know, it doesn't leave you hungry during the day, you skip the eating late, and hospitality is terrible. Sometimes in Spain, you will be eating your main dinner after midnight. So if you push everything a little bit earlier in the day, it does a couple of things. If you're going to lose weight, you're going to feel hungry. It transfers that hunger into the time that you're sleeping. You wake up ravenous and you breakfast like a king again.
Okay, so you said now, you had porridge, right? And then you said you had fish. Did you have anything else? Fish and vegetables?
Oh, absolutely. Fish and vegetables. I don't regulate so much the amount of it when I'm with the vegetables, with greens and potatoes. And I'm a great lover of potatoes, very patriotic about my potatoes. And then I skipped completely an evening meal. So what I'm
so you're oh and you're doing you're doing intermittent fasting as well.
Intermittent fasting in that you will stay off for a day or two, or
no? Well, you're eating two meals. You're finishing eating early, and then you're
That's
not
right.
eating until the next day.
Yes, and that the weight just starts falling off.
Louise Reynolds is going to review Owen your diet now. Louise Reynolds, will you come in here? What do you think of what you've been hearing?
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Owen.
Good morning, Louise.
Firstly, Owen is not asking me for advice about this. You know, Owen has been doing this for a number of years. And really, you know, while you're doing it at Lent, Owen, you know, obviously, really what Owen is doing here is crash dieting for 10% of the year. You know, so he's actually drastically reducing his calorie intake. And he's doing this by cutting out a number of these foods, some of which he doesn't need to cut out at all. And I suppose what dietitians, we always say, is the reason that something is sustainable is because you can do it, you know, all year. You don't need to crash diet. And kind of this yo-yo dieting, now some people might do it 3 or 4 times a year and maybe not be as strict, whereas Owen has it down to one period, the 40 days, you know, that you're crash dieting for, and then the rest of the year you can go back to your normal diet. Now, the reason I suppose that as dietitians we're not so keen on that idea is that we know that weight cycling, which is another term for this, you know, it can come with an increased risk of type 2 diabetes later in life. Also, when you lose a lot of weight in a very short space of time, you know, you're losing some muscle as well. It's not all fat that you're losing. So you can't see that when you look at a body. You know, you can't see how much of that is fat and how much of that is lean muscle. And again, when you lose lean muscle, that does reduce your metabolic rate. And that's why then when you go back to normal eating, you know, you tend to put on the weight more quickly.
Yeah, but However, if you look, Louise, at what Owen is eating, Owen, sorry to talk about, you know, as though you're not there. So you're having porridge,
right? My family do that all the time, Claire, so it's okay.
Porridge, fish and veg. If there was another meal there, it probably wouldn't be too bad.
No, it wouldn't be. Now, the one thing, you know, I suppose that I totally get it. The business that Owen is in, it's really difficult when you are travelling. And I suppose this year has been different anyway with no travelling. But, you know, if you're in a hotel and you order a whole meal salad sandwich to your room, of course, it comes with maybe it's a triple decker sandwich and it comes with a side order of chips. And, you know, we all enjoy that. So it is very difficult when you don't have the control yourself if you're not cooking for yourself. So I totally understand that. But in terms of all of the things that Owen says he cuts out, you know, you don't need to be as extreme. Because, for example, dairy, you cut out all dairy foods. And yes, while we can certainly cut back on the butter and cream, because they really are extras in our diet that are quite high in fat and not full of nutrition. Whereas milk, cheese and yogurt, a lot of research has shown that, in fact, the calcium in these foods can help you to maintain a healthy weight. So that wouldn't be something that we would advocate. And similarly, red meat being fatty, when Owen says he cuts it out because it's fatty, again, yes, absolutely, cut out the chorizo, salami and sausages, but by all means include a piece of, you know, a piece of lean steak, because that is a really good source of iron.
Okay, but so, Owen, you want results, and what sort of results do you get over Lent?
I get very good results. I mean, it was very high at the beginning. I always ended up, interestingly enough, after... Louise's point is absolutely right. It's straight out of the dietitian. If you yo-yo diet, if you're going on and off, and I know people have been doing it for years, you put it back. I'm still below. I've always finished below the weight I started off with all those years ago. The other thing that has to be factored in is that I do eat copious amounts. I have a huge appetite normally. So cutting back on it isn't going to... probably brings me back to normal eating levels for other people. And the point about the muscle is very valid. One of the ways around that is to stay very active. Normally, Lent happily coincides with a very active period of my year. Usually, I'm doing a lot of mountains, a lot of skiing, a lot of snow sports at this time of the year. So while I have this, and I did caution at the very beginning, this is not for everybody.
Yeah,
the one point I would make is if compliance was not a problem, we wouldn't have the huge issues with liver function and diabetes and all these things. Compliance is difficult. A lot of people have great difficulty with it. And the one thing I would keep saying is that when you are devising a diet, keep in mind your own personality and your own likes and your own enjoyment of excess.
Yeah. Okay.
And
We have to leave that there. Owen, thank you very much. It's been fascinating to hear about your regime. Louise Reynolds, we will talk to you very soon too.